You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of John, chapter 11, verse 1. I do want to express my gratitude for the privilege to be with you during these days. Thank you for the invitation to come and be a part of these services. And as I always say, everywhere I go, I know that there are thousands of Baptist preachers. Your pastor could have asked to come, but I feel honored and blessed of God to have this privilege. And I look forward to being with Brother Tim and to be with you in this church. And we'll trust God to help us and help us to travel the divine distance He wants to take us. But we do appreciate all of you being a part of the service this evening. Certainly do appreciate the wonderful singing that's lifted up our hearts in praise and gratitude to God. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come to the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, said unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her. He groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his feet and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, we bow again in your presence. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, every lust, every action, every attitude, everything and anything about me that's unchristlike. I pray that you'll forgive me and cleanse me of it. Lord, thou said that you cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray that nothing shall be between my soul and thee. Thank you for this day, for the blessings, the privilege of the Lord's day, and the privilege to be a part of this service tonight. Thank you for this church, for its testimony, its influence for Christ through the years. Thank you for this dear man of God. I pray your blessings on Brother Tim as he leads this church and does all the work that you call him to do. I pray, Lord, that during these days that have been set aside to pray and to preach and to seek your face, Lord, that you'll be pleased to visit us with a divine visitation from above. Oh, dear God, without not revive us again, that we may rejoice in thee, and as a result, sinners shall be saved. Encourage your people, edify the church, exalt your name. Lord, should there be any among us that are lost, that have never been to Calvary by faith, that are spiritually dead, I pray, Lord, that this will be the hour that you bring them from spiritual death to spiritual life. When we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has said something to our hearts and that God has spoken to us. I pray, Lord, that you'll be pleased to anoint thy servant. Give me that special anointing. Illuminate my mind and loose my tongue. And may the gospel go forth not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. All that you're pleased to do in this hour, we will give you the praise. In the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at these verses concerning the resurrection of Lazarus, about the destroyer of death. John records 7 miracles that Jesus performed in the book of John, 7 miracles before the crucifixion. The first miracle, of course, was one of the happiest events in life, a wedding. And the last, of course, was one of the saddest events in life, that of a death. But the raising of Lazarus is the last and the greatest. For in this sign, Jesus reveals himself as the destroyer of death. Lazarus resurrects, or Lazarus' resurrection demonstrates his power to bring to life those that are dead in trespasses and sin. For salvation is a spiritual resurrection. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin. And so you know Christ confronts death. Jesus came to this world to abolish death. The first Adam brought death and ruin. But the last Adam, the second Adam, has brought life and redemption. 2 Timothy 1:10, our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He came to bring not only a spiritual life, but physical life, and to give us life everlasting, life eternal. He gives physical life. Acts 17:25 says, He giveth to all life and breath, and in Him we live and move and have our being. He gives spiritual life. John 10, verse 10, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is life above the common. Verse 11 of our text says, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. That's a solemn thing, to look in the windows of eternity. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, whether a person be a saint or a sinner, it is a very serious and solemn matter to look through the windows of death and to know that when the iron doors of the gates of life are shut, they're shut forever. And that individual will either be in heaven or hell throughout eternity. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. There's no stopover. Wheresoever, where the tree falleth, there shall it lie. And so it's a solemn thing to look in the windows of eternity and to look in the windows of death. Christ viewed death realistically. Death comes as silent as the dew. Death breaks asunder the strongest relations ever formed on earth. It does not respect the marriage bond. As it ushers people down its dark corridors, it does not heed the cries of children. As it ushers their parents down its long hallways, it removes the soul from the body, the mortal from the immortal. Job said in the 30th chapter, the 23rd verse, I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Now we mortals can't ever get very far away from the fact that it is appointed unto men once to die. Every town has its newspaper. Every newspaper has its obituary. Every community has its cemetery and its funeral homes to remind us it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And I remind you that the statistics are still the same. One out of every one person dies. It is appointed unto men once to die. When John F. Kennedy was running for president of the United States, and he chose Lyndon Johnson as his running mate. His brother Bobby, who hated Johnson, and Johnson hated him as well. But Bobby Kennedy said to his brother, why did you choose Lyndon Johnson as your vice president? And John F. Kennedy said, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to die in office. But on November the 22nd, 1963 in Dallas, Texas, an assassin's bullet proved him wrong. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Death is a strong house. Its doors do not open at the command of men. When Zachary Taylor, President of the United States, died, his wife, Margaret Taylor, refused to believe that her husband was dead. She would listen to his heart and try to feel his pulse rate. And she became hysterical, insisting that he was not dead. On three different occasions, she had the ice removed, preserving his body. She would not permit his body to be embalmed. She refused to accept the fact that it was dead. But all attempts to avoid death are futile. Men and women die. And all attempts to make a corpse look alive does not change the death. Now, I know that the morticians do a good job in making the body presentable and cosmetically make the body look good. But no dead person ever looks natural. I've heard people say they look like they're asleep. I've tried to see it, but I cannot see it. No dead person looks to me like they're taking a nap. They look like they're dead. And there's something terrible and something horrible about death. But thank God, Jesus came to abolish death. Jesus came to destroy death. Jesus came to bring life, and he has done it through his mighty power. Christ viewed death realistically. Now, the Lord Jesus, though he knew that Lazarus was going to die, in his plan of redemption, death was already conquered. 1 Corinthians 15 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There have been a lot of nice phrases that have been coined to try to soften the terribleness and the horror of death. Shakespeare talked about the necessary end. Another one talked about the fine serenity of death. But death is a frightening word. And death is a terrible enemy. But Jesus said that I may awake him out of sleep. There's only one in this universe that can look at death like that. And that is the Lord Jesus, of course. He looks at the marks that sin has left upon us, men and women who are dead and trespasses and sins, and sees the result of spiritual death. But thank God, he from death to life hath brought us by his divine power. We once that are saved were dead in trespasses and sin. But Jesus Christ came to give life. There is an undisturbed slumber. Verse 11 says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Now here's a sleep that no one can ever wake from unless the Lord Jesus intervenes. And what's true physically is even more true spiritually. Lazarus had ears, but he could not hear. He had eyes, but he could not see. He had a heart, but he could not feel. He was dead. Dead men feel nothing. Dead people have no appetite. Dead people have no affection. And dead people, of course, have no attraction. You can move the corpse out of the funeral home and place that individual on Fifth Avenue in New York City, won't make any difference. It's dead. You can put the best food before a corpse, won't excite that corpse. It's dead. It has no affection. It has no attraction, no appetite. And so it is with those that are spiritually dead. You can't make a spiritually dead person enjoy the things of God. You can't make a spiritually dead person appreciate the things of God. You can make all the rules and regulations you want to make, and you can stay on them continually, but they can't live for Christ until they have Christ in their heart. For me to live is Christ. But if Christ lives in you, it is the divine work of God. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every person that is saved has Christ within them. You can't get any closer than that. We are members of his body, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh. In Psalm 13:3, David shows his horror of perpetual death. Oh, Lord God, my God, light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. You cannot make a spiritually dead person love God or enjoy the things of God. But I remind you that to a Christian, death is not the end of life. Death is not extinction. Jesus said, our friend Lazarus. Lazarus was as much a friend in death as he was in life. And Jesus knew exactly where he was. And Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And when Lazarus, the life, left his body, he did not cease to exist. He existed in another state. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. The apostle said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor powers, nor principalities, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come. And in case you'd left out something, nor any other creature, if a spaceship full of green Martians should land, cannot separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And even death itself cannot separate us from the love of God. Homer Rod Heaver, who was the song leader for Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, was having some of the faculty at the local Christian college over at his home for a meal. Virgil P. Brock, the great hymn writer, was among them. And also Brock's blind cousin was present. And after the meal, they went out and watched the sunset over Lake Winona. And after the sun had set, the blind cousin of Virgil P. Brock said to those that had described the sunset to him, thank you for picturing it for me. I can see through other people's eyes. I think sometimes I can see beyond the sunset. And Mr. Brock wrote, beyond the sunset, oh blissful morn, when with our dear Savior heaven is begun, earth's toil ended, oh glorious dawning, beyond the sunset. And thank God there is a place beyond the sunset. There's a place beyond death, and it is with the Lord. And Jesus knew that he was in the presence of the Lord, that he was in paradise. And this, of course, death is unrelieved separation. The body without the spirit is dead. There's a living thing within us, and it's called the soul. Somebody says, I haven't seen a soul all day. They're right. We've never seen a soul, any of us. We just see the body that the soul lives in. But it's the soul that feels. It's the soul that responds to God. And my body just expresses what my soul feels. There's a soul in me that is now saved, has spiritual life, and a soul that can respond to God. And if your soul is saved, it will get out on you. And if it don't ever get out on a person, I doubt seriously it ever got in them. But if God has saved you, there's spiritual life within. You have a soul that can and does respond to God. And then the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The Lord has deposited this wonder salvation in these bodies of clay, in these earthen treasures, in these earthen vessels rather, that treasure dwells. He that hath the Son hath life. The natural man is void of spiritual life. You can't cultivate the new birth. It's not there to begin with. But being born, not of corruptible, but by the incorruptible word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, Brother Tim, it seems to me that often modern day religion just washes the corpse, perfumes it, powders it up, and makes dead, spiritually dead people try to look pretty nice. Some churches that exchange in letters remind me of one funeral home exchanging corpse with another. If God does not put life in a person, they're dead, spiritually dead. But thank God, if you're saved, He from death to life has brought you. It is the divine work and power of God, and only God can resurrect those that are spiritually dead. You know, so verse 3, Christ confronts death, the depth of his displeasure. Verse 33, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And the Greek word for groan means to snort as a horse would out of fear or anger. Jesus was moved because of the root cause of sin. And there's the depth of His distress. Verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. But that verse speaks volumes and volumes to us. The eyes which could see the end from the beginning, the great Creator who makes the birds sing, was the man of sorrow who bore our sins in His own body, who died that we might live, who paid the debt of sin, we might be free and justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Luke 19, and when Jesus came near the city, and beheld the city, He wept over it. He wept because of what sin was about to do to His people Israel, who rejected their Messiah. And on this occasion He wept because He was about to bring Lazarus back into the world. Now, I don't think that Jesus wept just because Lazarus was dead, because in just a few moments He was going to raise him from the dead. And He didn't weep just because Lazarus was dead. That would almost have been hypocritical. And of course, Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to live again. But He wept because of what sin has done. Sin has done to this world. Without sin, there would be no death. A sin by one man, sin into the world, and death by sin. And so that all men have sinned. And every person has to die because of sin. Sin plowed the body of our Lord. Sin crowned Jesus with thorns, and sin nailed Him to the cross, and sin caused Jesus Christ to become all that a holy God must judge, and all the wrath of God was poured out on that sacred head. He wept because of sin, and He shook with emotion, the blessed Savior. But Jesus knew that in a matter of moments, He was going to bring Lazarus back into this world. As I said this morning preaching, when I'm in heaven, I won't ever want to come back. I don't think that there's a person in heaven you could ever talk into coming back and living in this world. And brother, when I'm in the city, I'll be satisfied. And I don't think that I'll ever, ever, ever want to return to this world of sin except to come with the Lord Jesus when He comes to pick up those that have died, those that are living. And we come back with Jesus in the clouds. But Jesus knew that in a matter of moments, He's going to bring Lazarus out of paradise and back into this old sinful world. I think if we could have saw Lazarus in paradise, I don't think he was complaining, not for a moment. I don't think he was sad that he had died and gone to paradise, no. But in a moment, Jesus was going to bring him back into this world cursed with sin. And the Lord Jesus confronts death. Jesus said in verse 34, "Where have you laid him?" He went to the tomb of Lazarus for the sake of Lazarus. But He went into His tomb for our sake. The grave is a horrible, dark place. That is until Jesus cleaned it out and made a fit place for the body to dwell under resurrection morning. And we have the hope that those that die in the Lord will be raised with a body like of the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. The government, religion cannot hold him. He died, but he rose again. For 4,000 years, the keys of death swung on the devil's girdle or his belt. And by the right of conquest, the devil had won those keys in the Garden of Eden. But I see our Lord as he goes down into paradise, leading captivity captive, going up to the devil, who now possessed the keys of death. And I can imagine our Lord saying to the devil, I'll have those. And he went forth, leading captivity to captive, and led a host into heaven, where he now dwells as our great high priest, as the one mediator between God and man. Jesus arose and ascended to heaven. Millions of the saints that had died in the Lord from the time of Adam and at that moment went into heaven with him. And that is the word of resurrection. He came to the tomb of Lazarus. I'm glad he came to my tomb one day. And he called me by name. He always calls us by name. Someone has said that if Jesus had not named Lazarus, all the dead in Christ would have got up. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. He came to my tomb and brought me from spiritual death to spiritual life with the same authoritative word and the same mighty power. He raised up Lazarus from the dead. There are three occasions mentioned in the Bible when Jesus raised his voice to a shout. And the first time, of course, is here at the grave of Lazarus when he shouted or cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The second time he raised his voice to a shout was on the cross when he cried, it is finished. Not I'm finished, but it is finished. And when the Lord died, many of the saints had slept in the area around the cross arose. There'll be a third time when the Lord shall raise his voice to a shout. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I was in a meeting many years ago in another state and preached on the second coming. And one of the pastors said to me after the service, now you know that a lot of pastors, a lot of people in this area don't believe that. Like you preached it, they believe there'll just be one general resurrection. And what are you going to do about that? Well, I don't have to do anything about it. But I couldn't help it. I thought of what Paul said. I just said to him, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Concerning them which are asleep, the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And forever we shall be with the Lord. That's what the book says. And our Lord will raise his voice to a shout when the trumpet sounds. And he comes back for his church. My good friend, Brother Ed Maccabee, who I had the privilege, and our church had the privilege to have him preach for us just 1 year ago, will be this coming Sunday. I heard Brother Ed say, during one of the last times I heard him preach, I don't know when the Lord will call me home, but if I leave before you do, all you that are saved that remain, I'll be back with the Lord to pick you up. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He's coming back with his saints, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. A lot of mysterious things about the second coming. And someone has said, I'm not on the planning committee. But thank God I am on the welcoming committee. And I will respond to that divine call if he comes tonight. In the clouds, I shall rise to meet him. Thank God. If this body dies first, no problem. I shall go to be with the Lord and return and receive a new body. That's a word of liberation. What a startling sight this must have been. A man stumbling out of the grave. His heart has started pumping. And his arteries have started to pulsate. And his muscles have started to operate. He was bound in grave clothes from head to foot. I don't know how he got out of the grave, if he just hopped or rolled or ever how he got out. But Jesus said, loose him and let him go. But here was a man that was lying in a cold, marble, hewn out sepulcher. And Jesus called his name. And he rolled over on that cold slab of stone and came hopping or ever how he got out of the grave. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And that's what he did to me. Came to me spiritually. Two things I knew the night the Lord saved me. Number one, that I was a sinner. And number two, he's the only Savior. And by faith, I cried to him in repentance of my sin. And thank God, he brought me up out of the miry clay and placed my feet on the rock, established my going. And that put a song on my lips, even praise unto our God. You know, that result of the resurrection, there was communion with the Lord. And it was at this point that the religious crowd planned to kill him, decided to kill him, and made the determination that they would destroy the Son of God, they thought. But in the next chapter, there's an unusual sight. The Lord is at a meal again with his friends. But one that is sitting with him is the same one that was named Lazarus that had been dead not long ago. And he's sitting now at a table enjoying a meal. That tells me when dead people, spiritually dead people, receive spiritual life, they become worshipers, they become witnesses, and they become hungry. And they have an appetite for the things of God. Here's Lazarus sitting at this meal. We don't read that he said a word. I can just imagine what they must have talked about. But Lazarus didn't say, well, by the way, did you hear about that new movie I got? How that I was dead and experienced death and I got a movie that tells all about it. Or that book I wrote that tells about my experience and how I died and come back and all that. He didn't say a word about that. But I do know that he was sitting with the Lord. And he was worshiping. You can rest assured of that. And he was praising the Lord. When the Lord saves the sinner, that's a spiritual hunger for God and a spiritual thirst. And there is a worshiping heart. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall also live. And the same Lord who resurrected me spiritually will one day resurrect me physically. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. On resurrection morning, I'll get up out of the grave.